The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Monday! Probably a bit of a surprise coming to you for a Monday morning. This is a special edition of Your Welcome. And no, this is not going to be a regular thing. And yes, we are still on Wednesday and Friday. I will tell you the story. I'm out here in Las Vegas with Joel. It is about 4:30 in the morning. We are still drunk on excitement from the fights. We're up and we thought, you know what? We're going to bring you guys a show. So let's get into it. Joel, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so I want to start with a couple of thoughts right out of the gate, and I kind of like to go through this thing in order if you don't mind, but let's just start with Cody Garbrandt. I had a little bit of a strange emotion after Cody's fight. Yes, it was amazing. It got fight of the night. Something about me felt bad for Cody. And I don't usually feel that, all right? Two trained killers go into a cage. They take their shirts off, put a mouthpiece in, and try to hurt one another. It just is what it is. There's not a part of me that then feels bad for somebody. But Cody's in a very unique and tough position, okay? As fighters, there's a window. Everybody talks about that. But a lot of times when an athlete's going through it, he thinks he's going to be the exception and there isn't going to be a window. I'm coming to you with one of the best fighters in the world. I don't give a damn if he lost his last three fights. I'm talking about one of the best fighters alive right now. And he did lose his last three fights, and he lost them all by knockout. And the thing that made me sad or made me worried, I don't have the answer to this, but I'm thinking about it on his behalf, is when your chin goes, it never comes back. And when he went into this fight tonight, he chose to make it a firefight. He took a big risk, and he well could have caught his opponent. He well could have been the one with his hand raised in victory and getting the knockout. I see the risk that he took and I respect the hell out of it, but I really did think he would go into this fight with a different game plan, because as much as he likes the boxing and as much as he spent time boxing, he has a great wrestling pedigree. He has the ability to take these fights to the floor. And coming off of two knockout losses in a row over amazing opponents in super hard title fights, all the same, he had to question himself in some regard and think, okay, maybe it's time to go to plan B, which in my argument of assessing him might even be his plan A. He's very, very good at grappling. He didn't do it. He suffered a third knockout. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, am I off base to say that I've got a level of concern?
Here's where I'm at on that. When you look at Cody, he went to the top so fast. I looked at the record tonight. He's 11-2. Last two losses were the TJ, both knockouts. 11-2 is not that much experience, and he is a killer. My takeaway from the fight, watching it as a fan, was, oh my God, what a good fight. When it was over, and I don't know the answer to this, I don't think it could have been 3.5 minutes. If it was, it was 4 minutes. And it was practically the best 4 minutes of a 135-pound fight that I've ever seen. When you have that killer instinct and you have that killer style, what do you do with it? How do you taper it down? It brought him to the top. How's he going to pocket that?
Sure.
What do you do with him? Man, that's the turnaround. That's the, can he come back from getting the title, another shot at it? Everybody loves him. He looks great. He fights great. Can he? It's not what do you do with Cody? It's what does Cody do with Cody?
Well, let me ask you in a little bit different way. Maybe clarify for the audience. But I'm not saying what do you do from a promoter's standpoint. I get that he is a promoter's dream. I fully agree with you. He's got a great look, a great style, evident of the fact that he was given fight of the night. I mean, or a performance bonus. Totally complimented on his efforts. What I'm talking about is, with his team, he's the one that came out. He's the one that let me, as a fan, as a viewer, know, hey, I'm worried about these big shots. I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to take a step down in competition. I don't want to get... I want to be very observant of the shots that I took in those TJ battles. So as I'm listening to that, I'm projecting he's going to go into the fight that we just witnessed with the grappling mindset. He didn't say that. I just knew, okay, this guy has a whole nother set of skills if he wants to bring them out of the bag. And it would also serve largely to protect his chin. Now, he's taking on an opponent, very good on the ground, so it's not as though that's necessarily a key to victory, but it would solve the problem that he laid out of taking some of these big shots. It just concerned me at such a young age and with such a bright, brilliant future in front of him, and I agree with you that he has the it factor. It just concerned me of how is he going to be mentally and emotionally. Then couple that in with a little bit of a step further. How is he going to be stylistically if he wants to avoid repeating this a fourth time?
That's
a tough question. Well, I don't expect you to have an answer, but maybe a guess.
A guess is you need to reinvent yourself in some way, shape, or form, because the product that got you to the top that you have continued to put on showcase just got you put to sleep three times in a row. Now, he said that there was a headbutt, that he was hit with a headbutt. And
tonight?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He was hit with a headbutt, and he was on autopilot after that.
Okay, that's not what ended the night. He was hit with a headbutt at some point.
Yeah, he was hit with a headbutt, and he was on autopilot after that. It looked like the same Cody to me. It looked like the same Cody to me. I don't want to see anybody get knocked out three times in a row. Anybody. And you're in a tough spot there, but it's the fight business, man. It's a tough business.
For sure.
You missed one that I thought you would jump with, even though it was a prelim fight, but the prelims felt like a main event to me. This card was stacked top to bottom, and it delivered. But Diego Sanchez and Mickey Gall, you called that from the jump that, hey, you know what? Mickey Gall is a perfect opponent for Diego Sanchez. Diego's coming off a win, looked great in doing it. He hadn't looked this good in years.
Yeah, I agree. So here's what I compare this to. You know the Heimlich maneuver? Somebody's choking. You come behind them. You come to this little spot right under their sternum. Lock your ear. With the Heimlich maneuver, right? Diego, I don't know if you saw this in the fight, but when Diego Sanchez got to that tie clinch, that plum, he threw a knee straight up the middle. I don't know what this part of your body is called. That's why I'm calling it the Heimlich. He hit him in the Heimlich spot. So the Heimlich that is designed literally to take the air out of you, to force all the oxygen through your esophagus and make you blow out whatever it is you're choking on, okay? He kneed him at full force, no knee pad on, professional fighter. So to see Mickey Gall collapse on that, I can only imagine that's what it's designed to do. And Gall just wasn't able to recover. Diego Sanchez most certainly has enough in the tank to be able to swarm and finish it. I mean, it was a really great moment, but some people didn't know why Gall went down and wasn't able to defend himself. I was able to see it extremely clearly. That knee went right in to the Heimlich spot. It simply took the air out of him. Well, what the hell are you going to do? There's a few things that are going to end a fight. I mean, exhaustion's one of them. Pain is one of being hurt. Not being able to breathe and not being able to recover from that? Yeah, man, I get it. It was a great moment for Diego. And Joel, don't miss this, by the way. I'm probably stealing your thought. You're the one that brought him up. But don't miss this part of it. The way the UFC works, okay, if you're this win, that buys him all of 2019. In a worst-case scenario, he gets two more fights. So Diego Sanchez, who is literally the last of an era, the last of a generation, Ultimate Fighter Tough, won. Participant and winner, he'd be around all the way till 2020. That much we know from tonight. It was really a big deal.
Where I was leaning into Diego, great job, Diego. Wonderful fight. I went to the open workouts, took Lad to the open workouts. It's the first one I've been to ever. It isn't something that makes a lot of sense to me that they would have the fighters do an open workout 2 days before a fight. It just is ridiculous to me. You guys have enough stuff to do. And what I noticed was there was probably 500, maybe 600 fans there. And I noticed that 70%, if not 80%, were probably 25 years and younger. you may not know, and I started thinking about it. It was like, this fan base is getting so big and so fast and so young that they don't know the history of this sport unless we tell them. Diego Sanchez won the Ultimate Fighter at 185 pounds.
Yep.
He's fought at 170 pounds, fought 170 tonight. He fought at 155 pounds. He also fought 145 pounds. That's crazy. And he performed the way he did tonight.
Yeah. No, I agree. He fully deserves the credit. That's what I'm trying to tell the story. But I'm saying we're going to see more of Diego.
Well, thank God.
No, for sure. Absolutely. But it does set up all of 2019. I mean, the only way he leaves the sport is if he retires at this point. I'm just saying for the coming calendar year is if he retires. You know him well enough, and I know he ain't retiring. So we're going to see more Diego, which means the era lives on, which in some ways is very inspirational.
It's huge. I need to ask you something. Where did the Tony Ferguson bit come from that you're working
all right, there's a random
on
thought.
Twitter?
So
hey, it is 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's 4:30. All right, so and hey, this is a bonus show. We'll go wherever the hell we want to go with this, right? We're up entertaining people as a surprise.
This is different. Then this is different for
the studio in Portland.
Yeah,
how do you like it?
You know, we'll see.
And
we'll
see. Even better for me. Good energy because I get the benefit of the Vegas backdrop. You're not seeing that, but here, let me tell you this because I'm getting a little bit of false credit for this. So somewhere along the way, somebody created this whole Tony Ferguson is the type of guy, and then you fill in the blank. So it's got to be a joke, for one, but it also is always a compliment to Tony. Tony never gets teased in it. Tony Ferguson is the kind of guy, and then, you know, to beat up Superman, it's always something good for Tony, right? So it's for Tony fans, I guess, to have a little bit of fun. But, so I most certainly did not create this, but I love it, and I'm going with it. What I'm doing, though, and you're crediting me for being clever, I'm going to the YouTube page. And the fans in the comment section of the YouTube page, which is just great, by the way. It's like a good little community and environment. But they are always doing these Tony Ferguson jokes. And one's funnier than the next. So for almost each video I go through, I find my favorite one. I just copy-paste it and then take it over to Twitter.
Okay, so the reason I brought that up was because I knocked one out of the park.
Oh, what was your Tony Ferguson?
I said Tony Ferguson is the kind of guy
okay.
that will get his pilot license,
go on,
buy a plane, crash it into the top of Mount Everest,
okay.
and walk down in his dress clothes on an active rest day.
That's so busy.
Too
I mean,
busy?
It's very good. No, I think it's out of the park. I like what you're saying, but I'm just there's a lot of words there. Could you fit that into a tweet?
I did.
Oh, you did? 140 characters.
Yeah.
It sounded long to me.
Yeah, it might have sounded better in my head.
I mean, there was a plane, and then he was buying the plane, and then it was the Mount Everest. And then I like that he was in dress clothes right after the wreck. That's like a 007. And then the active rest. I mean, there's just a lot to take in there.
You know, I had this whole thing planned out again, and then you did jail and said, hey, let it go this way. Let me steer the ship back into
all right, go ahead.
Where you're so good at this. All I got to do is go, boom. I need to tell you what a tremendous job ESPN, you, Brett Okamoto, Ariel, are doing.
Please do.
It's Fox was great.
Who am I to stop you from complimenting?
Fox was great. And you're living this, so you can't see it from a fan's perspective. Fox was incredible. Fox is like, you know, moving in. Into your first big house, and it's the greatest house you're ever going to have, and everybody loves your house. And then you go down to the Street of Dreams. You guys are doing such a tremendous job. You, first and foremost, absolutely killing it. 100%. The only thing that should happen is Ariel should talk less.
Okay, that's tremendous compliment. And, you know, I must tell you, I don't really know ESPN's coverage, and the only reason I say that is I don't go back and watch it. That is true. I'm there. I live it, and I'm there. So I actually didn't know that, but you prefer it to the old system. Well, is there a reason specifically why?
For a guy my age that's watched ESPN my whole life, if you hit 35 on any channel on Earth, ESPN's on, and they rotate them. So I can catch 3 bits in a day. If I miss 2 of them, I still have you. It's just, you guys are doing a tremendous job. I think it's going to take the sport to a level that nobody could even imagine. And you guys are doing a tremendous job.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you. Can I steer you back to the card? I just want to give everybody a debriefing that perhaps missed this. But there was, you know, the rubber really started to meet the road at this point, because now we're talking about Askren's making the walk. And I was very concerned about this. Now, I wanted to take the fight and I wanted to enjoy the fight. I wanted to make sure we showed the respect to Robbie Lawler that he is more than earned. And I never felt that part of the story got told right. And to make sure that we brought Askren in the right way. So I did my own little part to contribute to that. But it's time to go. So Askren comes out. They're playing the funky music. He looks like he doesn't have the foggiest idea that he's about to go into a cage fight. I mean, I don't know if it's an act or if that's a competitor in him. There are many things in his personality that parallel Matt Lindland, where he genuinely likes to and wants to compete, where it appears that he is not nervous in the back. He is excited. He appears to be one of those very few guys who you don't have to say anything to get him in the right psychological standpoint. This is what he wants to do. Okay, great. So he comes out. I mean, he looks just like a guy in compliance with the rules of USADA and the sport should look. There's something very endearing about that. And the crowd takes to him. I mean, he's not in the... I'm not talking... No shaved chest and the tanning bed lessons. And he looks like a dude should look that's in compliance with the rules. And he gets in the cage and the whole audience is just happy to see him, right? Robbie comes out. Robbie looks like the scariest guy on the card. I mean, you look at his eyes. Ooh, you saw this. You saw what I saw. Okay, so Robbie gets in there. Joel, all hell breaks loose in about 5 seconds. And Ben comes right out. He goes for the shot. Robbie stuffs it. A little scramble ensues. Ben takes his back. Robbie slips the elbow out. All of a sudden, Robbie's got Ben up head over tea kettle. I mean, he sends him Josh Barnett versus Daniel Cormier style back to the ground and starts swinging. And Robbie's fresh. You don't want to be hit by Robbie in the fifth round, let alone 5 seconds into the first. This fight's about to get stopped. A referee could have stopped it without question. Many referees would. Please jump in.
I thought he was out.
Yeah.
I thought he was out, and I thought he came back too. But go on.
Many referees would have stopped this, and this referee could have stopped this, and there would be no blowback. What happened upon further review, and I don't know if you caught this, so I'm going to point it out for you, but when they went down, Robbie had Ben's arm and had it trapped behind his back. So when Ben is just taking all these punches and looking as though he's out, as you said, or looking as though he's not intelligently defending, there was no ability to defend. He had no hand to put in front of his face. Well, that part, I didn't personally see. That's why I'm telling you.
Well, and those hammers are coming down. Robbie's hammers are coming down. Let me tell you what I saw. And Ben Askren looked to me this week to be a kid in the candy store. Media everywhere, Twitter nonstop. A little bit too nonchalant for me. Robbie seemed like, hey, I want this fight too, but I want it in a different way. I'm sitting there thinking, you say Matt Lindland, and I'm going back and forth with this, and I say, would a prime Matt Lindland beat a prime Robbie Lawler? That leads me to say yes. That leads me to say yes. I see all this other noise. Like, Ben's really not taking this serious, and he's got a killer in front of him. It comes to me last night, I think Ben's going to get knocked down. So they go, let me tell you what I saw. I saw Ben go out, get thrown on his head by a guy that has won not one single wrestling match in his life, thought the fight should have been stopped, could have been stopped. Ben stays in the fight, gets to a good position, a position that looks like he's going to tap him out, but he does not tap him out. He does not physically submit, he does not verbally submit, and he does not go unconscious. So how in the hell does anybody call that fight? Coming down the next road is Ben grabs the mic, a guy that is an Olympian, a decorated wrestler, a superstar in so many levels, and says, is this the best that you have? And I'm thinking to myself, Ben, act like you've been there before. Act like you've been there before, because it appeared to me that you hadn't. And they should run that fight right back. I hate when people in this sphere sugarcoat a hit with how much they love that person. I was disappointed. He got his ass kicked. The play continued afterwards. Ben looks like he got run over by a Mack truck. And Robbie doesn't have a mark on him. Robbie got jobbed. Absolutely jobbed.
Okay, so let me process. Just give me one moment to process. So when the fight ends, and again, I'm not saying this for you as much as for anybody that's listening right now who did not have a chance to see it. Ben gets his ass kicked, okay? He goes head over tea kettle. They come down to the mat. He's got the arm track. Robbie's pounding away. They could have called this a TKO. Everybody gets up and goes home. There'd be no review, no rewatch. Get to the end of it. Ben came back to life somewhere in between there. Gets Robbie down. Robbie's turned over. Now, Ben's in a fairly bad position, but he's funky. They call him funky. I mean, I know enough about him to know, okay, I could not finish that choke from there. I don't know many guys on the roster that could. But, boy, Ben Askren might be the guy. So he's holding on to that choke. And, Joel, at one point, Robbie Lawler's arm is up.
I saw it.
Over his head. And the arm then drops down to the mat. That does not mean that he's out. I will fully concede to you. But I saw what the referee saw, and I saw it to the point that when Robbie's arm dropped and the ref did not immediately step in to save him, I was yelling, "Ref!" So I'm saying to you, and I'm not going to argue right or wrong with you, because I'm not in a position to do that. I'm just sharing with you, I saw what the referee saw. Now, I also saw the second Ben let that go and the fight was stopped, and Robbie pops up and he's like, "Whoa, you think I'm out? I'm wide awake." I saw that too. So you got to put these things in conjunction to where you could call it back and most certainly make the argument that the only fair and right thing to do is to rematch them. That Lawler could have had a TKO. Ben was issued a submission that perhaps he shouldn't have been. I'm with you on the whole thing. But if I'm also in the spirit of honesty, I saw what the referee saw. Maybe I saw it wrong, and maybe he did too.
You saw that. I saw that. But I also, what I thought with my eyes, was I thought 35 or 45 seconds before that, Ben was out.
Okay.
So if Ben was out and Robbie was out, where do you draw the line?
Well, now you're coming down to referee's discretion.
There's no discretion there. He wasn't out. You can go look at that thing 100. So I watched that. And I'm like, okay, that's what happened. I see Robbie pop up, and I'm like, Ben got him. That choke looked like the choke that Carlos Newton got with Pat Miletic.
Great call.
Okay?
Only other time in my life I've seen that choke. Called a bulldog choke.
It's called a what?
Bulldog choke.
That's what I thought it was called.
Bulldog choke.
And I just think you got to give Robbie a chance to get out of that position. You can't tell me, well, he wasn't getting out of that position, so it was the right call.
No.
Okay? It was either the right call or the wrong call. And if it wasn't the wrong call, we'll go back to the show the other day that we did together. And I said, you should be a lawyer. But you tell me if I'm wrong. Did he verbally submit?
No.
Did he physically submit?
No.
And was he out?
It would appear not. And I still can't agree with your conclusion, though I do agree with your argument. Here's the thing on that position, okay? And I've heard that also said that he did not verbally. Well, excuse me. If he's caught in a choke, of course he's not going to verbally. Here's what the referee had to do, and here's why I say I saw what he saw. When he went limp, you'll remember John Jones choking out Lyoto Machida. Okay, when Lyoto just goes limp and it took them a moment to step in. I mean, I just offer that by an example. When I saw Robbie's hand just drop to the mat, I had to make the assumption he was out. I had to assume that was the reaction and also the reason why I'm not getting a verbal command. The reason he's not verbally submitting or physically submitting is because he's unconscious. And it's very important as a referee that you step in quickly when that oxygen is cut off. So I'm just saying, if the referee had the opinion, if he believed this guy cannot protect himself, it is now incumbent upon me to step in and do the protecting for him. If that was the split decision that the referee made, which was backed up by Bob Bennett, which was disagreed with by Dana, which was disagreed with by Robbie, and which was not even supported by Ben, All Ben had said, look, I don't have any inside information on this. I never felt him go limp or anything else. I thought maybe I had some opportunity. Ref said let go, and I did.
Disappointed in his behavior, to tell you the truth. I was disappointed in his behavior. I thought he got his ass kicked, and I thought he should have been a little bit more humble.
Now, can I challenge you, only because if I don't, we don't have much of a conversation here, but can I challenge you when you say you didn't love his post-fight speech by telling you that if he had his ass kicked, which he did, you are right, he could have been TKO'd. He was spun all through the air. His face is all busted up. He's bleeding all over the place. This is by Robbie Lawler, one of the hardest hitters, most intimidating guys in the sport. He probably didn't have his full faculties to do the best interview. Oh, I also have to say one other thing, because the kids will let you know if I don't let you know right now. Robbie Lawler actually did have wrestling matches in his life. He was a champion wrestler, champion, state champion from Iowa. He was a recruited guy coming out of high school. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. He was a recruited athlete coming out of high school and said, no, I'm going to go over to Miletich and go into mixed martial arts. Never did go to college, never signed anywhere. Robbie Lawler, actually a very decorated wrestler at one point for one geographical location. But the location was Iowa. That means something.
Yeah, I'll give Ben the fact that, I mean, he came back from the dead. I mean he got powerbombed on his head. And I was just disappointed with Ben. I've been disappointed in him for a while, and that's really it. As a fan,
let me ask you this, and we'll put a cap on it. The idea of a rematch.
If Robbie wants the rematch, I think Robbie should get the rematch. You're talking about a former champion of the company that has championed the company. This Robbie Lawler's a fighter. Okay, he didn't want to do no media. He doesn't want to run around. And if you think with all this media that everybody has that you can close your eyes to the circus that Ben Askren made out of the week, and hey, he had some high spots. You and him on that bit you did for 22 minutes. I mean, Ben is so good at so many different things. I think he's just trying too hard. And I was disappointed with him. And quite frankly, I don't think he makes it to the top of this division.
From a matchmaker standpoint, and I appreciate you being very candid on that. From a matchmaker standpoint, what did it appear? And you've got the fight, you've got the controversy. I mean, here we are, right? We're arguing. We both watched it. We got different opinions of it. But not only would that make a level of sense to do the match again, if I was to face you with another question of, okay, if we don't do the match again, who do we put Ben against, and who do we put Robbie against? It seems as though with the welterweights on trial today and the way that it all unfolded, that you are a little bit stuck. And if Askren wants to get a little heat going with Till and get something going over there, Till's not even guaranteed to get. I mean, he's got business with Masvidal. Till isn't guaranteed to beat. You know what I'm saying? It just seems if you were to do it today, if you want to wait and kick the can tomorrow, we have a different answer tomorrow, perhaps. If you want to do it right this very second, though, I guess I'll just share with you. I think it makes a level of sense to redo it. We'll see where that goes, but I think it makes a level of sense for right now.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's a competitor, and he will run that back. But, yeah, I'm disappointed with him.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Usman versus Woodley.
Usman was the best fighter on that card tonight, and it was by a mile and a half. With that said, I had never, ever, ever seen T-Wood so flat. So, and he said it after the fight. It wasn't my day. It was not my day. When you mix friendship, you mix coaches, and you mix training together, you might get a bad mix. Did T-Wood have his best rounds against Ben Askren in training camp.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. I didn't see you going there, but I'm impressed that you did. I like it. Food for thought. A lot of narratives on this, and perhaps I'm going to start at the very end and then work the bases backwards here. But there's already a narrative, Joel, coming out that could be accurate, that T-Wood bought into T-Wood too much and that he got a little bit too busy. Only by example that he is dropping an album. He's doing some rap songs, dropped an album, walked out to one of his own songs tonight, was his walkout music, and as soon as, well, later Monday, he will be in New York on a media tour to sell the album. I don't personally have a problem with that. I think a guy that's got a couple of distractions, that's usually a good thing. I think a guy that's having some fun and lining up some media. I mean, he's doing media for the fight. What's the difference if he's going to go out and do media for... I mean, it all kind of seems par for the course. I don't know that it's a fair criticism, but that's one of the criticisms that he will have, and we've seen other fighters have that in the past. Where as soon as they get a little bit of run, all of a sudden they want to go off into the movies, and all of a sudden they're not the champion anymore. I'm just sharing that with you because it's a dialogue that by the time this hits the airwaves, that's going to hit the airwaves.
I thought that narrative was going to be against Darren Till, and it wasn't. But I believe that he got caught up in somebody else's program, and that was Ben Askren's program. It looked that way to me. I don't want to take anything away from Kamaru Usman. He was the best fighter in the world tonight, and he was by it by a long shot. He was everything that he said he was going to be all week long. He handled everything like a champ. When Kobe comes in with his bad bit and tries to pull all those shenanigans, it doesn't bother him a bit. He told us what he was going to do. And then he came out and did it. And as wrestlers, right here, okay, I was a Division II wrestler, all right? I was a bunch of divisions wrestlers. But, boy, when a Division II wrestler kicks the shit out of a Division I wrestler, we feel it. And that's what happened tonight. But there's a difference between wrestling and MMA wrestling.
Sure. Yeah, there is a difference. It surprised me. And I will tell you this. Going into that fight, I shared this with you, but going into that fight, I believe these were essentially the same guy. I mean, essentially some quick and athletic and strong and good hands and getting on the takedown. Essentially the same guy, with T-Wood just being better, just simply being better everywhere. A little better hands, a little bit more power. If you look at their resumes, they simply were, right? Kamaru Usman being a college wrestler, as you said, Division II on a very good team. T-Wood being a Division I wrestler on a top five team. Kamaru Usman being the number one contender in the world. High praise right there. But Tyron Woodley being the world champion. I mean, Tyron was on paper was everything that Usman was, but just a little bit better at it. That was my analysis. I met Kamaru tonight for the first time. I feel as though I have known him for a very long time. We're like that within the wrestling community, and then particularly in this role. I'm watching him all the time, talking about him all the time. I never actually met him and put my hand out and shook his and said hello until tonight. And he said to me, he gave me a little bit of a look, just a real slight one, but a little bit of a look. And I asked him about it, and he said, well, I've heard things you've been saying all week. And he goes, and I felt like it was heat. I said, Kamaru, I woke up this morning thinking you were the second best fighter in the world. I now know you're the very best fighter in the world. There's a no insult on either one of those. And he thought for like a millisecond, goes, oh, you're right, okay. So then everything was fine, but that analysis is very fair. That analysis that I said to him, I didn't know you were the best fighter in the world. How would I know? That's why we had to do this fight. I've seen Tyron prove it. I've seen Tyron go out there and do it. I know you're the guy for the job. Nobody knew you were the baddest dude in the world. I said, now, Kamaru, now that I've leveled with you, I want you to level back with me. Did that surprise you? You winning in a dominant fashion. I'm talking about the dominance, not the win. Did that surprise you that you could dominate, that every takedown you went for, you got, that when you put the great scrambler down, he didn't scramble and get back to his feet? Did that surprise you that you moved to full mount, that you looked for submissions, that he began to slowly try to survive all five rounds as opposed to win at some point? And he was straight, and he said, yeah, it did. It did. I thought I was going to get more resistance than I did. And it's like, Kamaru, okay, then we're on the same page. You're the one in there, I'm sitting on that, but you and I are on the same page. That was a really hard fight, and you dominated it.
after the second round, people are starting to get upset, and the fans are even kind of booing a little bit. And I'm like, what are you booing? This is such a tremendous performance against a, you know, Kamaru said it afterwards, one of the best welterweights to have ever done it. And man, I don't know a better I can't off the top of my head think of a better performance bell to bell where the guy just went in and not one up the guy, but two up the guy. He didn't have an answer for anything at all. So now what do you do? I don't need to see that fight again.
Sure.
You know, I don't need to see that fight again, but I will say this. And if those guys are being honest, and if T Woods, because I seen a little bit, it was happy go lucky all week with Ben and T Wood, but near the end, you know, coming Friday, I felt T Wood trying to kind of get away from the circus that Ben had created in this event. The pressure that Ben puts on, I think he could have had the best rounds. I get back to the point. I think he could have had the best rounds in his camp, and when T Wood comes in fresh with that kind of body and that kind of muscles, there's nothing he could have done after the third round.
And I'll tell you this, interesting perspective though, but there was some major dialogue that Tyron Woodley was the greatest welterweight of all time, or that now Kamaru Usman will go on and be the greatest welterweight of all time. Fine arguments, love them, got no pushback. But it is important that you do know, it's a window. And a real skill in this sport, and something that does need to be appreciated and factored in to the imaginary conversation of the greatest of all time. Because that's all it is. It's just an argument. But something that does need to be considered and factored in is the ability to extend your career. Because when I hear greatest welterweight of all time, and I hear anybody say anybody other than the goddamn greatest of all time, which is George St. Pierre, they lose credibility with me. And one thing that I would always offer, no matter who you wanted to put in, and there's some great names, Kamaru Usman, great name, Tyron Woodley, great name, Robbie Lawler, great name, Johnny Hendricks, great name. George St. Pierre did it from 2002, Joel, until last Thursday at 11 a.m., Montreal time, okay? That is an incredible run. And I just think that that needs to be mentioned. By the way, on the cusp of everything what we're seeing, and the welterweights really were put on trial today, and we all got exposed to something, which is apparently Kamaru's the baddest dude in the world. But Tyron Woodley's allowed to have a bad night. That's a normal thing. Tyron Woodley may get his championship back. That's a normal thing. Guys come in and out. For George St. Pierre to have a run from 2002, Joel, when we're at USA Auto, I was at Car Gold, to last week? Come on, man. Don't give me that crap that there's an argument.
Well,
it's
and he
not
was,
an argument.
He was still
three
trying,
letters.
He was still trying to fight on his way out.
Three little letters, GSP. He's still trying to fight on his way out. The window may still be here. But do you agree with me on that? I mean, can we at least put that level of silliness aside?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Let's transition into the main event, Smith and Jones. I had an analysis going into this, and I like it, and I still think I'm right. Anthony Smith has 25 minutes, but he only needs to win 5 seconds. John Jones will win the exchanges. He's going to win the rounds. He's going to win most of the positions and a lot of the scenarios, but Anthony Smith, if he can find the right 5 seconds within that 25 minutes, can leave there with the world championship. I will stand by that if you allow me the word if, because the if didn't happen. And we get reminded of this, and I find myself saying it repeatedly every time John Jones fights, but we get reminded of the level of greatness and the separation in talent. And he also does have some physicalities that allow him an ability, specifically defensively. He'll get in a dust-up, Joel, where any of us have to bob, weave, clinch, take a step back, move left, move right, block, shit, all these different defense. John Jones will stick a hand out, he'll put his palm on your head, and you just simply can't reach him. He is so good. He is so talented. And one of the things that John has done that's very unfair to John, and I've seen other great athletes, Roy Jones Jr. comes to mind, who was the greatest boxer of his era, couldn't make any money boxing. He didn't allow a creativity, or rather his opponents, couldn't allow a creativity to come into the fan the consumer, the customer's mind that he could possibly lose, and therefore they didn't want to watch. You don't ever watch sports if you know the conclusion. There's a reason that the Super Bowl, as great a business that it does, never gets replayed. Once people know the outcome, they don't rewatch the game, okay? Here's what I'm trying to say to you. John Jones has set a bar so high for himself that on a night like tonight, on a night like OSP, on a night where he doesn't go out there and stop somebody that he's a huge favorite to go out and stop, it gets used as a criticism against him, and that isn't fair to John. John, even on a bad night, dominated all the rounds, won the positions. And I guess I'm attempting to recap this, but maybe say something nice about John, because that's something rare that I do. I have my own personal things with John, but when I do this in this atmosphere, I want to make sure that I am objective. So those are my words.
Okay,
Listen,
there's no doubt. There's no doubt that John Jones is the best fighter that has ever done this. Ever. Without a doubt. Knew it going in. He kicked Anthony Smith in the head illegally. Won every round. Won almost every position. I do think we need to work on this a little bit because Anthony stayed in the fight. But he kicked him in the head two different times. One was not called. Have you ever seen somebody get kicked in the head and lose 2 points?
No.
You saw him get kicked in the head and it not called, correct?
Yes, I did.
So the next time he gets kicked in the head,
which was a knee. Second time was a knee.
Oh, first was a kick to the head. Okay.
The same thing. Yeah, 100%.
He takes 2 points away. So John, even the greatest as he is, he's the best that's ever done it, still kicked Anthony Smith in the head twice, and the second time, it should have cost him the goddamn title. If it was anybody on this goddamn planet not named Anthony Lionheart Smith, he would have. He would have, and we would have had a different talk tonight. Because let me tell you a little something about Anthony Smith, okay? He did every single thing he said he was going to do. There was two people this week, not with ESPN. I mean, you're a hybrid. You're all over the place promoting this goddamn fight. You and Anthony Smith. Nobody else. These goddamn fake-ass media marks throwing out stupid-ass questions all the time about you're a 14-1 underdog. Absolutely asinine. He handled it with pride. He handled it with respect. He flew all over the place. He comes in. He gets beat. But he also gets cheated. And he gets kicked in the head. He could have walked away. If it was anybody else on this planet other than Anthony Smith, we'd have a new topic going on right now because there was no reason for him to continue after being kicked in the head and kneed in the head by the greatest fighter that has ever done it. So let's stop the presses. Let's stop telling everybody what a reclamation project John Jones is. That's bullshit. He's a dirty fighter. He doesn't need to be dirty. And it's bullshit.
I have two thoughts on that. The first is, we have very few rules in this sport. So it is very important that the rules that we have are followed. Those were illegal strikes, period. They were called illegal. We all saw it. The referee said, illegal strikes. Okay, not opinion here. Those were illegal strikes. Something that is of a relative concern to me, is that after Anthony was kneed in the head, and this is the rules were followed, but after he was kneed in the head, he is then turned to, and he is asked by the official, can you continue? And it would seem to me that a guy who we just witnessed being fouled in one of the worst ways that you can, a knee to your unprotected head, no reason to protect it because the shot's not allowed to come, right? Is now allowed to give an assessment of his ability to continue. It would seem to me that the person least capable to give a fair assessment if he can continue is the person who was just fouled. I just bring that up, food for thought. perhaps a different way we should do it in the future. It would just seem to me a more responsible way would be that the adult in the room who is the official made that call.
Yeah, we're sitting there, you know, me and Led, goddamn did Led root for Anthony Smith until the last second like a champion. And Byron, my friend Byron, is saying, no, that would have been a dirty move for Anthony to say, no, I'm good. And what I saw was, you know how fast you can think inside that cage. You can think about 100 different things in a split second. And I saw Anthony Smith talking to himself. And I watched him shake himself off. He said, I'm not going to win it this way. And then again, he grabs the microphone and says, I want to win a world championship. I don't want to steal it. Yeah. Well, goddamn it, Anthony, you wouldn't have stole nothing. You got kicked in the head twice. You got beat by a better man. But goddamn, can he ever do it right? And can anybody ever stand up and say, this is bullshit? This is bullshit. Everybody wants to congratulate John Jones for what? For what? For getting suspended a bunch of times and then coming back, and he can't get through a match. He cannot get through a match without it being madness. The Gustafsson fight was 2 weeks ago. They moved the whole goddamn card for him. It's crazy how fast we forget these things.
An interesting reveal into the mind of John Jones, if you will. But he does a press conference after the fight, quick interview. And one of the things that he said is that he wanted to take full responsibility for the illegal knee. And I'm listening to it and going, John, who in the hell else would we blame? It was filmed. It's on video. It was ruled. Who else would we possibly blame? Thank you for taking responsibility, but just for fun, who else would have we blamed? And secondly, to take responsibility, to come out publicly and take responsibility, is an attempt at the moral high ground of, listen, my integrity is intact, and I will point to my heirs. It's already been ruled on. And there was no discipline taken against it. Nothing happened. To take responsibility for an act that does not come with a punishment to your detriment kind of forfeits the moral high ground, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just found that to be a fascinating piece. Well, yeah,
it'll never stop. It'll never stop. What are we doing here? I don't get it. There's no doubt he's the greatest fighter in the world. Can you get through a match, one match, you know, humble in victory and thanking God? Man, that's all fine and good, but you just kicked, oh boy, right in the chopper.
You cheated twice in one match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that also happened. That's fair by you.
Yeah.
That did happen.
And you know, I want to stay on Anthony Smith for a second because he did get beat tonight. And let's not forget, that this is a guy that fought 5 times in 13 months. 13 months ago, he stopped at 185 pounds and has one of the biggest rises that anybody's ever had. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
And at some point, he just ran up against it. And the fight could have been different in a lot of ways, but Anthony Smith couldn't get off tonight for whatever reason, and that reason was John Jones. But this isn't the last time we see Anthony Smith main event a card, and I hope he takes about 6 months off, and I hope we see him and Luke Rockhold getting down.
Get it, and I agree, and I must tell you, we've now passed 5 a.m. I have an airplane in 2 hours to go home. I'm shot. You got any final thoughts?
I'm done.
Okay, now wait. I got to ask you one, and then we will really get out of here. But I wanted to recap the show. We have a payoff that we owe to the fans.
Okay.
All right. So you came out to Vegas. I think this was Friday of last week. You said, listen, I'm going out to Vegas. I'm staying at Randy's house. Randy won't be there. I'm going to steal his belt and I'm going to sell him. Did you steal
on,
the belts?
Hold
just
on.
Tell me about the belts.
Hold on. Let me walk you through it. I said, should I pawn the belts, get the belt back after Anthony wins? It goes right back there. So we finished the show. And
I feel like that's similar to what I said, but go ahead. You were going to return the belt if Anthony won and you got the money. All right, go ahead.
So we get out of shooting that show, and I text Randy. Hey, I'm not at Randy's house. And I text him. I say, hey, we just shot this pod. And he's got 8 belts. Okay, he's got 8 belts. And he has them in this really cool room, and they're all in a specific spot. And I don't even like to go near them. And I send him a text. Hey, I'm not going to pawn your belts and bet the fight. ... Well, not all of them. Okay?
Okay.
And so it blows up. As soon as this thing drops, it blows up. I got people all over the world literally contacting me wanting to know how they can buy Randy's belt.
Sure, and I'm like, how much?
Yeah, I'm like, guys, this was an obvious bit. I'm not selling my friend's belt, but I'm so freaked out by that. I don't want to go near the belts. I want this whole thing to be over. So today, Randy listens to the podcast, and he sends me a text. Heard the podcast, ... And I'm like, the belts are safe. And so I'm like, man, I need to go up there and do an inventory on these belts. I made this bit. I'm in his house. It's just me and Lad. And I go up there, and there's 7 of them. And I'm like, there's 8 belts. Okay, this is about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, where do I go if I need information in MMA? To Lad.
Sure.
Hey, Lad, how many belts does Randy have? It's 8. And I'm like, man, it's getting time for me to go over to the fights. I'm a little freaked out by this. There's a belt missing. And so I'm like, hey, bro, there's 7 belts in your...
So you got a hold of Randy. Yeah, hey, bro, to Randy. Okay.
Hey, bro, there's 7 belts in... I was like, hey, how do I get the Uber through the gate? By the way, there's 7 belts in the case. And what's going on? He said, well, no, there's one at the USAW Hall of Fame.
All right.
But, man, I was sweating bullets.
So they're all accounted for.
They're all accounted for.
Your hands are clean.
We leave tomorrow. So I'm going to do inventory again tomorrow and lock that place up tighter in a drum.
Well, I leave in 1 hour and 50 minutes. Yeah. So thank you for joining us. Everybody, we're getting out of here in a hurry. But this was a bonus show anyway. Get on and enjoy your week. Happy Monday to you all. Talk to you on Wednesday. For Joel, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
It's time to get your fitness on with the nation's premier personal trainer and wellness coach, Ben Greenfield, each week on Ben Greenfield Fitness here on Podcast One.
But I want to show you some of the tips that I use to put on muscle quickly when I was bodybuilding and do it completely naturally.
Need more fitness advice? Join Ben this week as he meets up with podcast legend Adam Carolla on The Adam Carolla Show. Download Ben Greenfield Fitness every Wednesday. And don't miss Ben on The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hope that was helpful. I'll catch you next time.